Ezekiel 14. Then came some of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling block of their wickedness before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? So the essence of idolatry is in the heart, and it is the mind which is the heart. So the idols that we have today are not bits of wood and stone. They are mental attitudes, wrong mental attitudes that replace God, that you keep coming back to in a sort of an addictive way, as those people did. Therefore speak to them and tell them, Thus says the Lord, every man of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his wickedness before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahweh, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. So God is saying, I am not going to listen to other people praying for people who are worshipping idols in their heart. You cannot get other people to do your religion for you. You can't go to someone else and say, would you pray to God for me? You have got to do this ultimately yourself. And he's saying, I certainly will not listen to them when they've got their idols in their heart and they think that they can get okay with God by getting someone like Ezekiel to pray for them. Therefore tell the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord, Repent, turn away from your idols, turn away your faces from all your abominations. For each one of the house of Israel or of the foreigners who live in Israel, who separates himself from me and takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. In other words, I won't answer him via the prophet. I will deal with that person directly. I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. If the prophet is deceived when he speaks a word, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand on him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. So God is waiting to confirm us in whatever way we wish to go. If the prophets insisted on carrying on like this, well, then God would deceive them. As Paul says, God treats those who do not receive the love of the truth by sending them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. The other way around, of course, God is eagerly waiting to confirm us positively in the way in which we want to go by his Holy Spirit. They shall bear their wickedness. The wickedness of the prophet shall be even as the wickedness of him who seeks him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people. Son of man, when a land sins against me by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand on it, and break the staff of its bread, and send famine on it, and cut off from it man and animal, this is what was going to happen to Judah, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would save only their own lives by their righteousness, says the Lord. I think those three men are chosen because they each were able to save other people. Job saved his friends when he prayed for them. Noah saved his family in the ark. It was by his faith, we're told in Hebrews 11, it was by his faith that the others were saved. And Daniel perhaps saved his three friends and to some degree saved his people from further judgment by interceding for them. So up to a certain point, you can pray for another person and God will bless that person spiritually and maybe forgive them because of you. You remember they brought the paralyzed man to Jesus? And when Jesus saw the faith of the friends, he said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you. But that is not to say that we can just force God's hand to save somebody who doesn't even want to be saved. And this is the position that things had got to in Judah at the time of Ezekiel. If I cause evil animals to pass through the land and they ravage it, even though these three men, that's Noah, Daniel, and Job, even though these three men were in the land. As I live, says the Lord, they should deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only should be delivered themselves. Or if I bring a sword on that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off from it man and animal, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would not save neither sons nor daughters, but only themselves. For thus says the Lord, how much more when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, savage animals, the plague, to cut off from it man and animal. Yet behold, therein shall be left a few who shall be carried forth. They shall come forth to you, this is to Ezekiel in captivity, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought on Jerusalem. So then, God always works with a remnant. Israel were the smallest of the nations, and yet even amongst them, God, or they were very small as a nation, and yet even amongst them, God only dealt with a remnant, a minority. So God is the God of small things and of small people, not of great mass movements, when everybody gets caught up in a sort of a crowd mentality. He's the God of individuals. And these would come out of that, and they would come to be with Ezekiel in Babylon, in this little sanctuary that he was intended to develop there.